So The Offing by Benjamin Myers. I've nearly finished it, very nearly finished it. It's a really different read, isn't it?
It is. It's quite special, I think. And in fact, I didn't know anything about this author before this book. And I think his other titles are quite different. They're meant to be quite dark and gritty. But this book was highly promoted just before lockdown and then as lockdown hit, because a lot of reviewers claimed that this was the perfect lockdown read. And it took me a while before I was able to get a copy, unfortunately. But I do agree with them because of the themes that are in it. It touches on isolation, but also friendship and resourcefulness and the beauty of the natural environment. And it's very affirming and very visual in its descriptions as well. It's very vivid. So it's set... Oh, sorry.
No, sorry, because you paused, and with a delay, that meant I thought perhaps you'd stopped.
Right. Launch into what it's about.
Go on, go for it.
It's set just after the Second World War, and it introduces us to Robert, who's a 16-year-old boy, and he's decided that he's going to launch out and go for a long, long walk just before he's going to set out in life, which is predetermined for him in the mining community in Yorkshire. So before he settles into this destined life, which has been laid out over the generations, he goes on this walk and he ends up at Robin Hood's Bay on the coast. And there he meets Dulcie, and she lives in a cottage all alone, except for her dog, who's called Butler, a German shepherd. And she sees Rob in the garden and or along the lane, and she invites him for a meal. And in fact, he stays with her all summer. And she's sort of three times his age, which when you first read it, you think, oh, she's an elderly lady. But in fact, that only means she's 48. So she's not very old at all. But she's full of wisdom that she's gained through life. And the two of them start up this friendship where it's reciprocal, really. She shares with him her wisdom and her view on life and how he should grasp his future and go for his dreams. And he also brings her sort of joy and hope and zeal for life that he brings with youth. And together they make a discovery because Dulcie's former partner, who sadly died, was a poet. And Rob helps Dulcie rediscover the poetry, and they make other discoveries too. So Dulcie gets answers in life that she never thought she would receive. So it's quite a beautiful book. Descriptions of the countryside are wonderful, and also Dulcie's attitude to life, and particularly her cooking. She's got this amazing larder full of glorious food, which is described to us in quite a lot of detail, and the meals that she conjures up are really quite mouth-watering. So I think it's something that we all would long for, really, to have somebody who is, you know, looking after us and also looks out for us. So a sort of mentor figure, as she wants to share her wisdom and experience and encourage self-belief in Rob, I suppose.
Is she based on a real character? Because she sort of drops in some of the famous people in the world that she's known, and they're famous. They really are famous people as well, aren't they, in terms of poetry?
Yes.
And so on.
Not that I know of. I think that's just playing with us, I think. So, yes, that mixture of fact and fiction to give it some authenticity, but not that I'm aware of. This is all made up. And also the poet as well. I think that's the author playing with his own desire for exploring his own poetic slant.
It is so beautifully, I mean, it's the countryside and the descriptions of the countryside and down to the cutting of grass. And I didn't think I was going to find it particularly, I found it hard to get into, I think, for the first chapter or
yes.
two. But once I was in it, I wanted to keep reading.
Yes, the first couple of chapters are very, they're quite dense in their description. So they're almost poetic in themselves. If you'd set it out differently, you'd think that you were reading a poem because it's very, very visual and very wordy, I suppose. But actually, if you don't rush through those sections and you allow the text to infuse, you actually find that it really is quite a calming effect. It's quite a special book in that it does slow you down. You want to completely immerse yourself in their world. You want to wallow in the text and lose yourself in the writing, I think.
Because I'm a bad reader. I skip. So if I'm reading just the story, I will whisk my way through it. So, and this book, you can't really. I have to make myself go back and read it properly, because otherwise you miss some of the really lovely ways of describing and so on.
I don't think it matters. I think you can skip along because there is a story. And I think you'll probably get to the end and think, well, let's just go back to that beginning and see if I read it differently. And I think you might. So I don't think it's a worry about that. I think just read as you want to, and then I think you might go back to it and see what more you can get from it in a slightly second reading. And it's very quick to read as well, so it wouldn't take any long to go back.
Not a huge book. I might have you tried nettle tea. I might have to try it after reading the book.
I haven't tried it. I'm afraid I'm still not tempted.
No, neither am I. Somebody she describes how to pick them without them stinging. I'm not convinced myself either.
So
The Offing by Benjamin Myers. Would you give it marks out of 10? Were you pleased with it, Catherine?
Yes, I'd say a good 8 there.
Okay.
And that's good for me. I never go for the 10, you know that.
Well, you can't, can you? Because there might be one around the corner. So you always have to leave just a little bit of room.